It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It is your old buddy Luke Clayton. It's time for our weekly get-together here on KETR. I want to tell you that this segment is underwritten by the Dallas Safari Club, and I want to invite you to go to biggame.org where you can learn about the Dallas Safari Club. The annual convention is in Dallas this year, January the 3rd through the 6th. And I think it's time that we visit with Mr. Seth Vanover again. Now, Seth guides on Lake Fork for crappie and catfish, and he's an avid deer hunter, an East Texas deer hunter. We might just talk some deer hunting and some crappie fishing with him. Seth, are you with us this morning, buddy?
Bright and bushy-tailed, I am right here.
You are on station. Well, we appreciate you taking some time, Seth, to talk about the outdoors with us. You've been our guest many times, and I think that you probably developed a somewhat of a following here on KETR because I get a lot of nice emails, and people like to keep it local. And you're pretty doggone local, you know, right here on Lake Fork. You've got some, you hunt East Texas deer, and the rut is just now getting in the early stages, you were telling me, of where you hunt, right?
Yes, sir. You know, as I'm driving around town, I'm seeing bucks running some does. I saw some yesterday morning doing it, and seeing a lot of pre-rut sign right now, a lot of scrapes, a lot of rubs. The bucks I've been seeing, their necks are starting to get a little bigger, and you're starting to see the bigger bucks in the daylight, which is always a good sign that the rut's getting close.
You bet. Well, it's, you know, not only in East Texas, but this past weekend for the rifle opener, you know, I hunt with a bow, and I had my bow down there with some old outdoor writer buddies, Bob Hood, who's been the outdoor editor for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. He was the outdoor editor for 43 years, I believe. Now he's the hunting editor for Texas Fish and Game, but had Mike Cox down there, quite an outdoorsman. Mike was, he was the DPS communications director for years, and now he works with Parks and Wildlife as their communications chief. So he was there. John Gill, who's an outdoors writer buddy of mine, he writes regularly for the San Angelo paper right out in the middle of deer country. But the reason I'm mentioning all these guys, they're all from different areas of Texas. The consensus from every one of them that the bucks were just kicking off rut. Now, we hunted together down in Lampasas County, not too far from the Colorado River, and the bucks were in full rut. Seth, a couple of game wardens, friends of Mike Cox, stopped by to say hello and check her camp over, and they said that a week ago they went into what we call hard rut, where they were really running does. So wherever you hunt deer right now, it's prime time, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Either gun or bow, you're going to see some deer right now. It's just one of those magical time of year. It starts cooling down, and the fish bite, and the deer get to running.
You bet. Well, I think it would be appropriate if we shift gears to something real local, and that's crappie fishing down at Lake Fork. Fork is loaded with crappie. And we talked actually while you were on some of your guide trips. The bite, it seems, you were telling me it's just like a switch. When they turn on their own big time, then Mother Nature flips that switch and it slows down, right?
It's literally that way right now. We had a trip the other morning, and we spot just a few here and there till about 9 o'clock. And about 9 o'clock, you heard the light switch get flipped, and every pole started going, don't, getting bit.
Wow. Well, Seth, down at Fork now, what is a good pattern, you know, depths and that type of information? I know, are you fishing mostly with minnows or using jigs too?
We're using both, and it's about an equal amount we're catching on each right now.
Yep.
The bigger crappie now are really, you know, the 2 pounds and better crappie, they're coming actually off of minnows.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it was this past weekend. And we're staying at about 25 feet. Mm-hmm. And really, that's the target depth we're staying at. We're not going any shallower or any deeper right now. We find 25 feet, and that's where we're hitting. That just seems to be the magic depth right now.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
Given the water temperatures and everything, it is 25 feet.
Well, when you pull up, just say, to to a dead standing timber, and it can be subsurface or whatever. You can find it on your graph, or you can maybe just see some sticking above the water. But say you pull up to it, and you know, you look at your graph and you find some fish. Kind of walk us through, Seth, how you start trying to locate actively feeding fish. What do you, you know, I fished with you enough, I'm going to bet you probably start out down deeper and work your way up. Is that right?
That's one of the ways. Mm-hmm. Another way, if you have some good electronics, and depending on your boat, you know what boat I fish in, and it's pretty maneuverable for a boat that size.
Mm-hmm.
But what you need to do is look for bait fish. Pull up on these deep standing timbers and graph them. If you find some bait fish, you're going to find the crappie. And that's when you start. You tie up, you get set up, and then you start working the depth range and see where they're going to be.
I'm with you. And when you do, say you do catch some, you're fishing 25 feet of water, and you get your first bite at 10 feet up from bottom or 15 foot deep. It's mm-hmm. pretty important to go back to that, isn't it, Seth?
Hey, if you want to catch fish, it means everything. if you get above it or below it, it'll be a pretty day on the lake, but you're not going to be consistent in catching fish.
Yeah, it's amazing how crappie are so depth-oriented, and that they are. I mean, I guess it's that school, for whatever reason, whether it's bait fish they're feeding on or who knows, but for whatever reason, when they're at a certain depth, they stick with it. They don't stratify up and down, do they?
No, they really don't. Now, this time of year, we're catching them pretty much on the bottom. We're hitting the bottom, and that's just the depth range they're at right now. They're not suspended up. Of course, a lot of the places we're hitting right now is in open water.
Mm-hmm.
There's no timber around. There's no nothing. So we're having to throw buoy markers out and anchor up. That's what we're doing right now, just submerged brush piles out in open water. But they're holding tight to those brush piles right on the bottom.
Well, and you know, a big key is getting those baits right down into the thickest of cover a lot of times, isn't it, Seth?
It really is. You gotta have good electronics, and right now the offshore stuff we're fishing. You have to be so precise. I mean, very precise. If you're off 10 yards one way or the other, it's going to be the difference between a limit and a few fish. You really have to be precise. If you find these things and you know how to work your electronics and you can anchor up or troll, you know, keep your boat in the proper position with your trolling motor, you can just mop up on them right now.
You know, it's an interesting topic, that the trolling. There's so many different ways that I've been exposed to it. Some people call it, actually what it amounts to is about 8 rods set on the bow of the boat in rod holders. Spider rigging is the term that the Crappie Association, I fish with those guys, and it's a type fishing that is way different. And if you like it, you like it. I just personally like to have I like to be the one that feels the bite. But the way it works, you know, like you're talking about, is precise boat position. But the way, you know, find the fish, bait 8 rods in the bow of the boat, back off downwind, and just ease up into it. But it is so, you know, that's really so different than the way I know how to fish. You know, it's so much technique involved, and it does take something away from it. But there again, it has become very popular in the last 3 or 4 years. You know, Seth, spider rigging it's called, and a lot of people do it.
You know, stuff we've been doing here lately is, you know, and I'm not perfect by any means finding these offshore structures. Now, I'll target it with my electronics. I'll throw a buoy marker out, and then I'll troll. I'll troll around until somebody catches a fish, and then
mm-hmm.
I'll chunk another buoy marker out.
Mm-hmm.
That tells me we found exactly where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be just 10 feet away.
Right.
It may be 10 feet. It's something that subtle. And then once we get anchored up, we'll start putting out multiple rods. I'm with you. I like to feel the bite. But some people, they want as many rods in the water as they
yeah.
can. And that's fine. Hey, that is great. We'll do that too.
Yeah, it's different. There, and something that I'm you're the crappie expert. I'm just an old crappie fish. I fish for them all my life. But something I've noticed that is a fact, I mean, I believe it to be fact, is when, say, for instance, minnows are just dropped down to a certain elevation, you may not be getting hit. I learned this years ago from another crappie guide. When that, I couldn't catch them. I was fishing still vertical minnows in one position, and he was trolling, you know. And he said he pictured it, he described it like this. Those minnows are down there, the crappie are in schools, and he said there's something about that moving minnow getting away, I guess is what the fish are, what triggers a strike. But he caught like 4-1, and I started doing that, Seth, moving, trolling a little bit. And, man, it works. So,
oh, it does.
You know?
It really, that's what we did this past weekend. I left my anchor in its storage compartment,
mm-hmm.
and I set out three buoys in a little triangle, and we just trolled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we kept trolling. And, I mean, we cracked them this weekend by doing that. You know, I had several different people in the boat. But the way we were doing it, we would have a minnow pole in a rod holder, and everybody was throwing a jig.
Mm-hmm.
And when that minnow pole got popped, you set your jig pole down and reel your fish up. And we cracked them that way.
Wow.
Just trolling.
I know you sent me some pictures of some of the big fish and the numbers that you caught. On the jigs, what type of jig right now are, you can name a brand if you want to, but the size is and the color is what I'm really interested in.
Well, we're using 8-ounce jig heads. And we're using what the color is called sour grape.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And they're a little over an inch long. And all that is a blue over a chartreuse belly, basically, is what it is. And that seems to be the color when it's cloudy.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a lot of sunshine, I know it seems kind of weird, but you need to go to a brighter color. We've mm-hmm. been using what's called river cane.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about an inch long, and it's just... That's what we've been doing. Cloudy days are different, sunny days are different, but the depth has not changed yet.
That's something that's as constant, I guess, right now as the polar star is 25 feet, right? That's
it is, and as the water cools down, that is only going to get more concentrated in fish.
Okay, now we're about out of time, but the way you present the jigs now, what's working best?
Flip it out there as far as you can. Get your little area marked off where you want to go,
mm-hmm.
and cast it out as far as you can. Feed you a bunch of line so it doesn't pendulum all the way back to the boat.
Mm-hmm. Let it fall. Let it fall vertically when you feed the line.
Let it fall vertically where
yes,
it
sir.
Is.
Uh-huh. Right.
And just bump it along the bottom all the way back to the boat.
And you need some pretty sensitive. You really need a pretty sensitive rod and line to feel the bait hit the bottom. So what pound test? Working best.
I'm using 4-pound, and I rarely felt a bite this past weekend. All I would go to jumping it, and I'd feel pressure, and I know that's a fish.
Mm-hmm.
The bite is very subtle on a jig right now.
Well,
now the minnows, I mean, you can see that they're whacking those minnows, but the jig bite is very subtle.
It's a lot of finesse in jig fishing for crappie. Seth, let's do this for people that want to learn more about catching crappie. Down at Lake Fork, I want you to leave your website, and then I'd like you to leave a phone number because I know you're always ready to give information, talk fishing with people. So how do they contact Mr. Guide Seth Vanover?
Well, the website is lakeforkcatandcrappie.com, and the phone number is 903-736-4557.
Well, Seth, we really appreciate you taking the time to be with us. I'd like you to stay on the line. I'll visit with you a little bit, but we need to wrap our show up. I do want to remind everybody that KETR.org, all week, you can listen to this show, and you can listen to the archive of shows that were done many months ago right there at KETR.org. And I want to remind you again that this show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, biggame.org, and there you can learn all about the Dallas Safari Club. Be safe. We'll join you right here this time next week.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.